Let us pray. God of truth, you speak your word, and we barely hear it beneath the rumble and clatter of our world. Tune the ears of our heart to your voice. Clear our minds and listen. Let us hear Jesus calling us and answer and follow by the powerful grace of your Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the letter to the Ephesians. You used to be dead. You were trapped in life-stealing ways. Under the sway of this world, you thought you could force your way, write your own cosmic laws. We all do it. We act like little self-contained body pods, slaves to our ego's fearful desires, children of fear and despair. All of us. But God, rich with mercy, loves us with this huge, heartbreaking love, even when we drive our life into a fatal crash. And God makes us alive, raising us up out of the grave, arm in arm with Christ. You've been saved, kid, pulled right out of the wreckage of your life. God raises us up and sets us gently right next to Christ, at the center of life, in Christ's heart. Only afterwards will we begin to see just how immensely deep God's grace is in showing us such kindness in Christ Jesus. You've been saved by God's grace. Just trust this. This is not your own doing. It's totally a gift from God. It's not anything you can even influence. Nobody can claim that. There's no such thing as a self-made person. We are what God made us, which is God's beloved, created for the purpose of goodness. This is your destiny, your identity, your whole life. Get used to it. Hear the word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Matthew's gospel. Jesus was walking along the Sea of Galilee and he saw a couple of brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting their net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will have you fish for people." And immediately they left their net and followed him. Going on a little farther, he saw a couple other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in their boat, mending their nets with their father Zebedee, and Jesus also called them. And immediately, they left their boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went all through the villages of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the reign of God, and curing every disease and sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Beloved, Jesus Christ. When God calls us, we're not likely to hear words, not likely to see Jesus standing there saying, "Follow me." It's more like a feeling, a suspicion, an urge, an awareness, somehow some sense that God is calling us, inviting us to do something, to leave behind whatever boats and nets are familiar to us and enter into something new. It might be challenging or unknown, but there's this sense of being led into something. Sometimes it means something dramatic, like leaving behind the boat the nets like the fishermen did and entering into Jesus' healing ministry. Sometimes it's not necessarily a change of location or vocation, but it's something that you feel called to do. I've watched, I've seen you answer God's call many times. And it's always just so cool to see when you just get that sense that God is calling you to help the homeless or feed the hungry or help care for the environment, to reach out to people who are in some kind of need, to enter into some kind of ministry. Sometimes it's not necessarily a thing you do, it's sort of everything you do. Sometimes it's your job. I know some of you are teachers because it's your calling. Sometimes you're parents or caring for parents, caring for family members. And it's a calling. It's not just a chore. It's something God is inviting you to do. But sometimes I think the call is not so much something that God is inviting us into that's new. It might be something that we're already doing. We already know we're doing it. We're just not quite sure how to do it, or not sure we can do it alone. My very first year in ministry, I was called to go visit somebody in an ICU, in intensive care. And it was in this huge old hospital that had been added on to three times. And there were all these wards at the end of wings beyond hallways and rooms and double doors and strange things. And I followed the directions. After about two turns, I was pretty sure I was lost. And I was also feeling sort of intimidated, being young and green, and not sure it was okay for me to be barging into all these medical places. So I had to stop and ask again for directions. And there was a nurse who saw me and saw my lostness, and she said, "Follow me." And she worked her way through this maze of all these hallways and doors and double doors and secret entrances, and I didn't know what all, and took me there. Sometimes when Jesus says, "Follow me," it's not a challenge. It's guidance. Sometimes we know what we're doing. We're just not sure how we can do it. Beth was the pastor of a church in Billings, in Montana, where the youth group went to a ballroom dance studio for fun. So I went along, one of the adults who went along, and there I was, the first time I'd ever tried ballroom dancing since junior high, and Beth can attest to this, how really awful I was. I was just no good at it. And the instructor noticed, and he came over and he said, "I'll tell you what, I'll be you, and you be her." And then with a very few sentences of instruction, he told me what we were going to do, and then we just started dancing. Now, I can't say that I danced gracefully. I was still pretty bad at it. But for a moment, I experienced what it felt like to dance correctly. Sometimes when Jesus says, "Follow me," it's not a burden. It's assistance. It's actually just helping out. Sometimes, it's not that we're being called into something new. We're actually being called home. Sometimes, we're the lost sheep, and Jesus is the shepherd who comes and finds us and says, "Hey, buddy, follow me." I remember when I was little, our family went to an amusement park with a house of mirrors, you know, this maze in which all the walls are glass or mirrors, and it's just almost impossible to figure out where am I and where am I going. A family went through this and somewhere along the way lost their little guy, this little kid, and you could hear him in there wailing away. He was not happy. Well, there was a staffer who knew exactly what to do. She went in and she knew the maze. She knew how to get there. And she found him, and I bet she said, "Hey, buddy, follow me." And she led him out through the maze, and he was reunited with his family, and everybody was happy. Sometimes when Jesus says, "Follow me," he's not sending you off to some strange place. He's bringing you home. sometimes when Jesus says, follow me, it's not a chore. It's a rescue. Maybe sometimes Jesus asks us to follow him just because he likes to have us around. In 2004, when our middle son was in high school on the Nordic ski team, he tricked me into skiing the Canadian Ski Marathon. He just came home one day and described it, and he said, wouldn't that be fun to do? And I said, yeah, that sounds like fun. He said, good, because I just signed us up. It's a two-day race, 150 kilometers, cross-country skiing for 8 hours straight, 2 days in a row. And the thing is, cross-country skiing is not so much about strength or endurance, it's about rhythm and style. It's about finesse. Well, Aaron is a really beautiful skier, and he was on the team, and he was in good shape, so I just fell in behind him and just tried to copy him. The second year, the next year, our youngest was also on the Nordic team, so he came along, and the three of us skied across the backwoods of Canada together. It's this great father and son thing. Now, the thing is, there are thousands of people who do this, so it's pretty easy to lose a couple people in the crowd. But Jonathan is really tall, and he wore this blazing white, brilliant ski cap. You could see him from 300 yards away. So I could never lose him. I could always just look for the white hat and go there. And that way, the three of us could ski together. And if I ever lost him, I knew where to find him. I wonder if maybe sometimes Jesus said, follow me, just because he wants the company. He likes having us along. Imagine this. That Jesus is entering into your life every moment. Jesus, the Beloved, the cosmic Christ, the embodiment of God's love, walks right at your side through every moment of your life. And in fact, has already walked through your life and beyond. He's already walked through your death and resurrection. He doesn't know the future, but he knows the way. Imagine living your life so that every choice you made, you took whatever path would keep you closest to Jesus. No matter what. Maybe it means some mission that you undertake. Maybe it simply means how you enter into this moment. Maybe a tough conversation, a conflicted relationship, entering into somebody's hospital room or your own, dealing with change. Jesus is inviting us to follow him. It might be tough. I'm struck by how much we love the 23rd Psalm and all that talk about the green pastures and the still waters. That's the first two verses. You know what comes next? The valley of the shadow of death. But there, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Jesus is always inviting us to stay close, even when it gets hard. Because especially when it gets hard, that's when we want to stay close. I've gotten in trouble many times in my life. I remember getting in the worst trouble I've ever been in. It certainly felt like that to me. I'd been on a path that was not wise, and I was basically in denial, sort of pretending that that wasn't stupid. And I was in a conversation with somebody who had the power to call me out. And I became aware that there was a fork in the road. If I wanted to, I could kind of glide by this. I could kind of fudge a little bit, maybe even outright lie, and I could get around it. And I knew I could get away with it. Or, on the other hand, I could confess and get in trouble and then deal with it. And it wasn't exactly like Jesus was saying, follow me, but I had this distinct sense that this was the way to go. So I confessed. And I got in trouble. And it took a long time to work it out. But I worked it out. I made it out of the house of mirrors. Because that was actually the right way to go. Watch in your own life where love is leading. Pay attention to where Jesus is going. He knows how to lead you. He doesn't know the future, but he knows the way. Pay attention to where love is going every moment and go that way. Watch for where grace and mercy and wonder and justice want to lead you. And follow. Stay close. It might be a difficult situation. It might just be watching a cloud. That's where God is inviting you. Go. Imagine every moment just watching and staying close to Jesus. I can't guarantee you'll dance beautifully, but I do believe you'll make it. And it will be beautiful. And you won't be alone. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your steady, faithful love, continually entering our lives. Help us to watch and to follow. God, we thank you. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.